from the advertising media capital of the world, New Milford, Connecticut, wherever that is. This is Mostly Marketing with Matt Wilson.
Yes, it is Mostly Marketing with Matt Wilson. Welcome to another episode, and thank you to my boy Jim McCarthy from JimMcCarthyVoiceovers.com. He's also the host of the Mostly Middle Tennessee Business Podcast. So thanks for the intro there, Jim. Mostly Marketing with Matt Wilson, brought to you by Silverback Advertising, online at SilverbackAdvertising.com. A couple months ago, I visited St. Augustine, Florida with my son. We went down there solely to visit one of the largest Ford dealerships in the country. That's not really the whole reason we went, because if it was, that would be super nerdy and I'd be a really bad dad. But when I was down there, I did tour one of the largest Ford dealerships in the country. But the reason we did it is because I have a longtime friend. His name is Dave Stalvey. He is the e-commerce director at Bozard Ford in St. Augustine. And he joins me now on the podcast. David, how are you?
I'm doing well, Matt. How are you?
I am excellent. Good to have you back on the podcast. I think you've been on before. Is that true?
I've never been a featured guest, but I've been a guest on the show, yes.
Oh, like a caller.
Yeah.
And now you've earned yourself a position as an actual featured guest on the show. And the reason is because you are the e-commerce director at Bozard Ford, which is just a massive operation. You gave me a tour of it when I was down there. We had to use a golf cart to get across the lot, and there's like a million buildings, and it was super impressive. You were showing off the place to me. You are the e-commerce director. Tell me a little bit about what you do at Bozard Ford and what's going on at the store, and then we'll talk some e-commerce.
So essentially, I'm the e-commerce sales director, which encompasses quite a few different tentacles of the sales department in our business anyway, where we don't run a traditional business development center. We run a selling internet department. So my role is essentially to manage third-party vendors, staff, website, and then production from all of those things.
Okay, selling internet department. How is that different from a traditional business development center or a BDC, which I think is what the stores that you and I used to work at together had, and what I think is very common amongst at least all the Silverback clients? What's the difference between a selling internet department and a BDC?
Right. So in your traditional BDC, you're going to have people that sole role is to essentially establish an appointment, right, or the relationship, or handle the follow-up that the sales department has traditionally not been well at handling. At Bozard, I mean, before I got there, it was already established that there's an internet sales department, or an e-commerce sales department, if you will, that every inbound phone call, every inbound chat, every rotated third-party lead, in-house lead, is going to go directly to a person who's actually going to be start to finish part of that sale. So one of the things you witness, and I think it's kind of, I try to explain it to people, but it's something you really have to witness is, you know, I have 22 people in the internet department, and depending on the shift, I might have 22 people at a time with their hand on the phone, anxiously awaiting a phone call to rip it off the dial and help that customer as soon as the first ring happens. The same thing with the chat. With an inbound chat, we actually just switched chat providers and we broke their tool because of the speed in which my sales managers answer the chats.
Yeah, I saw that when you were giving me the tour. Is you're introducing me to guys who are sitting in the e-commerce department and they would say hi, but they had one hand on the phone, which I thought was like super odd. Because in my experience, BDC people are annoyed when the phone rings, right? Like these guys had their hands on the phone ready to battle it out for that customer. So it's the opposite. So your guys are selling cars. When in a BDC, they're really selling appointments or handling follow-up for salespeople and then warm, kind of handing off that customer as a warm lead to a salesperson. They answer the phone, they do the info on the phone, and then when the customer comes in, is that the guy who goes and meets the customer and takes them all the way through the process?
100%. So the theory behind it is, you know, a seamless experience for the consumer and less transfer of, hey, this is what happened. This is what they're looking for. How can you help them? And then having to actually transfer them a second time to someone else, right? I mean, we are 100% focused on the client experience. And from our experience, what we have found works very well is having the person that answers the phone be the same person that says, hey, I'm going to pull that car up. Oh, yes, we do have the red one. It's here. It's in stock. It's exactly as it was described on the website. What time can you be here? I'll have it pulled up, gassed up, and ready for you to view.
You're eliminating as much of the friction as possible in the process.
That's the idea. Yeah, we want to eliminate any confusion, any he said, she said. We want to get directly to the person that's going to be handling that customer when they walk through the door.
What would you consider the definition of e-commerce?
You know, it's funny. You and I debated this for a while, and it actually kind of challenged me to put a definition on it, because as far as what my role is, it kind of has a lot of offshoots in a daily operational dealership life. But it forced me to actually put pen to paper and kind of come up with a map of exactly what I believe e-commerce specifically is. And it's developing the processes and business partners that fuel the sales funnel of our online retail silo, and then leading the team that serves our clients in a manner that results in mutual success and benefit. And I'd like to highlight the last part, which is mutual success and benefit, because in reality, we've experienced some different times in the car business. Sure. With inventory shortages and COVID happening over the past few years. And obviously the ship has started to lean back the other way. And in our belief in our dealership, is the way that we continue to grow is that we have to make sure our clients are being successful and that we're offering them a beneficial experience for them in the sales process, and then in turn back into the service process when they do bring it back. So there's definitely a highlight and a focus on mutual benefit and mutual success.
A struggle for our industry since COVID has been the marrying of the process online with the delivery and process offline of the vehicle. How far has Bozard made it in connecting those two things?
It's difficult, right? So yeah. When I took over the department, my mindset was I would really love a seamless transition from online to in-store experience. And it's hard to do because brick and mortar is not online. I mean, someone can shop at 2 a.m. based on their work shift and sort through our filters online, find the car they want. But that car may have a deposit on it. It may not be available. We recently switched vendors for our digital retail and for our chat to try and match our expectation for a customer experience, where now a customer can go all the way through the digital retail process, save their deal, walk into the dealership with a QR code, and any salesperson can scan that right from their phone and say, oh, okay, I found this F-150 that you were looking at. Here are the rebates that you applied to it. Here's your trade-in value that's already been verified by our third-party trade software that we use. Let me go ahead and just finish the rest of your paperwork.
So a customer doesn't talk to somebody online and then show up, and then that person, they have an appointment with so-and-so. And they go, oh yeah, okay, no, I'll handle that. What are you looking for? It's like, I already told the other guy what I'm looking for. Like, you guys have, at your operation, eliminated that, which I feel like happens in a lot of situations. The customer comes in and they're starting over, essentially.
Right. And that's really where I kind of want to eliminate that as a consumer. I mean, I've been accused in my life of being a super impatient person, and I can't stand going online and then not understanding why an employee of whatever the business may be doesn't know what they're doing online. So for me, it was very important, and it's still very important, to make sure that whatever we are communicating to our clients online is exactly what they're going to experience when they walk through the door. Regardless of how far they went in the process online, I think it's important. I mean, you were at the store. It's 25 acres. It can be a bit imposing when you get there.
Yeah.
So walking through the doors and having someone greet you and be like, oh yeah, 100%, you can start right where you left off, is super important.
100%. Definitely. So the guys in the selling internet department, they are on the phone with the customer. They're talking to them. They're getting them in. They're doing the appointment. They're meeting with them. They're bringing the car around. They're doing the test drive. They're doing the numbers. Do they handle the F&I portion of it as well? Or does that go to like an F&I person, and then the selling guy comes back in and kind of puts a bow on it?
So we do actually have a couple of different, you know, I use the term silo quite a bit, but in our dealership, we do have a couple of different silos for our internet sales. One of them would be single point of contact. So I do have currently 9 single point of contact sales advisors that will handle the process from start to finish. So Spock. You'll never Spock, as we call it, right? Yeah. The customer never leaves that individual. So from the start to finish, they will give them a quote, they will appraise the trade, they will get the loan approved, then they will deliver the car, they will sign them up. we are, in a broader picture, I kind of think of it as, you know, the ability to have outside salespeople on the road all across anywhere with the ability to say, hey, I can be at the soccer field on 10 a.m. on Saturday and a soccer mom says, hey, I'm really looking for a new minivan. And you whip open your tablet, you find a minivan that's available. You can quote a deal. You can submit it right there online with your hotspot, get it approved, sign them up on the side of the road, and then just call back to the dealership and say, hey, I need this car washed and cleaned for detail at 12 p.m.
I love that. It's frustrating as a consumer, just outside of automotive, when you're for anything, a major purchase or, you know, I don't know, something small even, where you work with one person and then you really like that person, good rapport with them, you build trust, you like their personality, and then you move to the next part of the business and you can hand it off to somebody else. And then you're like, oh yeah, but I liked him better. Right? That's frustrating as a consumer. And so if you're purchasing a car, you're there and you're buying an $80,000 truck and you've already have rapport with the guy you like, and then you go to this, you know, stranger who maybe you don't like as much or have as great a relationship with, sometimes as a customer, that can be a little bit of a turnoff.
Right. So minimizing the time gap, not only the transfer of customer, because if you do have a traditional process where one of my internet client portfolio managers is going to assist you, and then you might not be turned over. You might not be dealing with a SPAC. You might be dealing with someone who's going to turn you over to finance. Mm-hmm. But minimizing that time gap, depending on the demographic of where you are. I mean, it was different in New England where I used to work to where it is now, but I want that experience to be great. Let me go ahead and get all your paperwork together. I'm going to get it to finance. In the meantime, let's go ahead and go into your car, set up your Bluetooth, make sure that you're comfortable with everything while they're preparing the paperwork. Then I'm going to walk you in, sit with you as an introduction while you go through your motor vehicle paperwork. And then I'm going to let you finish up your financial paperwork and I'll meet you on the other side in about 4 minutes with a bow on your car, ready to take delivery, gassed up, detailed, smooth process, right? That's a perfect world process as far as having to make the transfer from sales to finance.
Trying to minimize the amount of time someone's sitting in the waiting area, waiting for to get in finance.
Right. I mean, and I talk about it all the time. I say, look, I mean, people come here to buy cars, right? And what they don't come here to do is to hang out. As nice as you make your dealership, you can have the Starbucks, we have a Ford's Garage restaurant next door. We have a playground. We have a dog park. As nice as you make your dealership, it is still an actual chore for some people to purchase a car, right? Yeah. They've got two kids, they've got soccer games to go to, they've got flag football games to go to, they have work to tend to on the weekends, they've got family obligations. The last thing they want to do is waste any of their precious time kind of sitting. And one of the things I think outside of e-commerce, one of the things I think as an industry we can probably focus on is always resetting the clock, right? So it may only seem like 8 minutes to you because you were running around the dealership swapping plates and talking to the detail guys and swinging by service, but to the customer sitting by themselves in the showroom, it's been 30 minutes in their head.
Sure.
So making sure that everyone in the dealership from the top down feels very comfortable touching a customer who's waiting and saying, hey, are you picking up a new car today? Yeah, I am. Oh, that's so exciting. What are you getting? Oh, I'm getting an F-150. That's awesome. We love those cars. We sell a ton of them. You know, are you doing anything special to it? What color did you get? What trim did you get? Because those resets will affect your survey. They will affect the client experience. And honestly, it makes your dealership feel welcoming, because if you've ever sat in a business and stared around and counted the tiles on the wall because the time was ticking by, it didn't feel very welcoming.
Sure.
But being in a place where there's a lot of smiles and there's a lot of concern for your purchase and your business, that makes all the difference in the world.
Absolutely. Let's move over to the sort of marketing customer acquisition side. You mentioned at the beginning that you work with all the third-party lead providers and the endemic sites and that kind of stuff. Endemic is a fancy word, right? You like that?
I do.
Yeah.
I'm thank you. Really, really excited that you whipped off the thesaurus for this episode.
Yes, thank you. I use that word in my day-to-day conversations, you know, no offense. Okay, so you handle a lot of those third-party sites, right? Auto Trader, Car Gurus, Cars.com, there's a million of them. I don't even know which ones you do, but there's a million of them, and you buy your package and they display your inventory and yada, yada, yada. And then 4 months later, they come back and they say, hey, we have the banner ad available for the East West region. And it's the Conquest banner. And you'll be in front of everybody who searches all the other dealerships' cars. Do those extras. First of all, do those extras. And do those extras make a difference in the performance of your spend with that third-party site, in your experience?
In my experience, I want all of them presented to me. Whether or not I decide to partake in them, I feel like I am partnering with this business for one reason or another. This vendor is valuable to me as a business partner.
Sure.
I need their exposure, right? I am not an IT genius. I am not pushing my inventory out to the world. I don't have the expertise. I don't have the ability. Our website is a standalone website. I like to stay close to all of my vendor reps, and I like to kind of lean on them from a perspective of, hey, I know you're a salesperson, and I know that everything additional that we purchase helps your bottom line. And I'm okay with spending money if I believe and you can show me how that product will help not only me reach more customers, but help the customers that I reach have the Bozard experience. So I think when I first got into this role, I was a little hesitant because we have a ton of vendors and everybody wants a Zoom and everybody wants to send to their calendar and they all want your time, and kind of managing that so that I'm effective and not just busy is a challenge. But in the reality is, if we utilize those vendors and we utilize their websites as tools for our business, we can then maximize our spend. So yeah, maybe it is a $3,000 more expensive to add this Auto Trader, you know, zone ad. However, how many impressions am I going to get? What is my cost per sale on those impressions, right? A lot of guys want to say, well, it's only 25 cents per impression. Well, that number doesn't mean anything if I get zero sales. So I like to back into the cost per sale number of the impressions. I don't grind my gears and spend a lot of time in that data. I do it once a month. It's a lagging indicator. So essentially I'm looking at last month's cost per sales, but it can probably give you a pretty good purview on where you're going to be in future months. But I think keeping all of those vendors very close to you, maintaining a good relationship and saying, hey, I've had vendors tell me, I don't want to feel salesy. Every time they release a new product, they want us to go push it to you. And I'm like, look, I don't feel like you're being salesy. I feel like you're telling me, hey, this is the latest and the greatest that we have to offer. Would you like to partake? And here's why I think you should. Or maybe this isn't a great fit for your store, but we do have it available. Either way, I want to know. Because the last thing I want to do is find out that there's a competitor that has a leg up on me for something I was never offered.
Yeah. I always find that a client will appreciate if you say, listen, we got this new thing, but you know, I don't really think it's for you. It's not worth the money. Like, I always appreciate it if somebody takes the opportunity to like go out of their way to say, this is available, but I'm not going to try and sell you on it. And here's why. Like, it feels counterintuitive to what their job is, but it feels like they're looking out for you. I always like when a client or a partner of the agencies does that for us.
It's like a throwaway product. It's like when I was in finance, right? Yeah. If you've got a menu of products and you know one of them doesn't fit your client, you say, look, we do have this product available. It probably doesn't fit your needs, but I'm going to at least mention it so you know it's available.
What's the cadence that you like to use to talk to those reps? Like, will you sit, I don't know if you're on Auto Trader or not, but will you sit with your Auto Trader rep either in person or on the phone every month, or is that too much?
100% I want to see them monthly. And
that's a lot of time, though. The more vendors, it's a lot of time if you use, you know, all the vendors.
It's 15 minutes. I mean, if you actually get to know your product and you're tracking your leads, however you track them, whether it be through your CRM, whether it be through their own extranets that all of these vendors have nowadays, if you can track your leads and then if you use, you know, I use Clairvoy as a source to kind of like backtrack the actual cost.
Yeah, I like those guys. Exactly, Steve White, yes.
Find out exactly where things come from. It doesn't need to be an hour. It can realistically be 15 minutes as long as you're maintaining those relationships. I spend 15 minutes with Auto Trader, 15 minutes with cars.com, 15 minutes with Car Gurus. I mean, we have ongoing conversations, emails throughout the month, but I feel like when I do set those up, I'm not going to schedule an hour for that conversation. I don't need you to bring me lunch. I don't need you to tell me, you know, we need to get in the nuts and bolts of it. I'm going to look at what I feel like month to month we've done, year over year what we've done. If something seems off, let's have a conversation. What did we change? What can we do different? If something seems like we spiked, okay, well, did we highlight a different type of vehicle? Or am I using my ads, my premium ads, on a four-wheel drive versus a two-wheel drive? Like, what got the spike in the traffic? Like, those are the little things I want to do, because as we funnel down to the details, I mean, it's in any business. The devil's in the details. If you're putting things out in front of people that they want to see, you will generate more traffic, period, the end, right? So if you have an exclusive product that's in high demand and you have it, let's make sure we push that in front of the masses and let's get the return on our investment. I am not a big fan of somebody sending me an email with their calendar and saying, pick a day. Like, I don't know what my day is going to look like from 8 a.m. till 9 p.m. I have no idea how my day is going to go. I could walk into work and somebody could run a car through the showroom and now my day's shot, right? I don't know.
The old Calendly invite.
Right. I can't stand that.
I get that a lot. Yeah. But what about what about this situation? Because I just did this with one of our partner vendors earlier today. We had a meeting a couple days ago. I had to cancel because we had a conflict in-house with a client. I said, I can't make this meeting. I got to reschedule it. What's your week look like the rest of the week? And he just said, I'm pretty open here. Just pick a time that works for you and send it to me. Now, in that situation, I was like, all right, that's pretty good, because then I could just look at it, see what's available for me, and then I'll have to get back to him. And he gets back to me 15 minutes later. Oh yeah. Okay. No, that works. Like, it was like, boom, done, meeting scheduled. So I agree with you, but in that situation, I found it to be convenient and take me less time to set up that meeting than if I was doing two emails back and forth.
Yeah. But you're the vendor.
In that situation, I was the vendor, right?
Right. Yeah. So you're the vendor. And that's, so I may actually do the same thing. I might say, hey, listen, Tuesday I'm wide open. What time works for you?
You know?
But the Calendly thing of like, hey, I am your vendor. You are paying us for a service. I need you to take your time, look through this, Fair. Find out when I'm available, get back to me when you, I don't know. Something about it to me seems very disingenuous.
Yeah.
Maybe it's because I'm not a super techie, you know, I don't know. I would rather you walk in. I know you're going to be here the second Tuesday of the month around 10 a.m. We'll sit in an office for 15, 20 minutes, have a cup of coffee, go through it, and then be done.
Yeah. From the agency side, like, our clients, we don't do that to our clients, but I get vendors that do it to me. We have a lot of partner vendors or people in our tech stack, and they communicate like that. But sometimes I appreciate it because I get like 80 emails a day, and then like back and forth, time, not available this time. What about that time? Oh, no, I can't that time. I got to go to the vet. You know, like, back and forth is crazy. But I get it.
I mean, I'm looking through my lead sources right now, right? I did a little research for our podcast
today. You don't want to focus.
And I've got 4 pages of different lead sources, right? If I sort every e-commerce type.
Holy
I mean,
cow.
from an online credit app to an OEM, you know, build to a auto alert lead to a chat lead to an ICO lead, like all these, right? I got pages and pages. So realistically speaking, though, a lot of these vendors are owned by one larger company.
Sure.
So I feel like as a e-commerce director, a sales manager, whoever's managing, the advertising manager, the marketing guy, these reps have a job to do. And if you have a good rep, then you should really lean on them to help you grow your business, because you're doing yourself a disservice by just being like, oh, they only want my money. Well, that's not necessarily the case. A lot of these people have been in the car business for a number of years. Maybe they're an ex-sales manager. Maybe they were a sales guy. Maybe they were in the BDC. And that experience can help you in situations where you might not understand what you should be doing.
Does Bozard look at, like, you get a chat lead? I don't know who your chat is. I don't know if it's Goobagoo or Contact, whatever, whoever the chat lead is. It doesn't matter. Carnow. Okay. Yes, Carnow. Super popular. We got lots of clients who use Carnow here at Silverback. So a person got to Carnow. They fill out the lead, which is on your website. It's a chat lead on your website. Yes, it's a lead, but the person didn't happen upon the lead. They got to your website somehow. Do you guys use Clairvoy do you look to figure out how that guy gets to my chat? Because a lot of dealers look at it and go, oh yeah, I chat. I pay $500 a month. Look how many leads I get. It's like, no, that's not a lead. I mean, it's a lead, but that's not how the person found you. That for some reason escapes people sometimes. Not everybody, but sometimes. Like, how did that person get to, what are you looking at?
I'm just laughing because it's, here's the advertising sales guy.
Yeah.
Being like, but that's not how they got it. Like, you don't understand. That's not actually your website. It's not your website traffic. They got there from somewhere else.
Yeah. They're all web leads, a credit app, a test drive app, a chat lead, click to call on your website. Those are all website leads. And the question is, and yes, you break them out so you know people do when they get to your website, but how do they get to your website is the beginning of the conversation and what should be used to help allocate your budget. Now I'm getting worked up, Dave, you know, to help figure out where your money is spent. So what does Bozard Ford do is the question, to try and track that back prior to the person landing on the website and filling out a credit. You said you got a bunch of credit apps there on your pieces of paper, but how did that?
So let me preface this by saying, before I moved to Florida,
I'm getting stressed out.
I was approached by the dealer principal at the group I worked for about our chat tool. And I said, honestly, boss, just trash it. Cancel it. It's garbage. Nobody uses it. Like, anybody that's on the website, they're just going to call in anyway, right? If they really want information, they'll call us. Okay. Fast forward to 2023. I moved to Florida. I start working at Bozard and I'm like, wow. This chat creates 600 leads a month. Like, now, and that, to your point, they're coming from somewhere else, right?
Yep.
They got to our website from other, from some other source.
Yeah. Okay. The chat's not generating the leads. You're getting a lot of, getting a lot of traffic to your website and then people are using the chat.
And here's why we're successful at chat, because I have 22 type A alpha personality pit bulls in a room, all vying to grab that chat, to the point that we have literally, for instance, if we have a chat and one of my guy jumps into the chat, there is a chance that within 1/100th of a second, another salesperson tried to enter that chat, and not all of the back-end features will prevent that from happening. That's how aggressive the guys are.
Wow.
And girls in my internet department. I mean, we are here to grab chats, help customers sell cars. So to answer your question, how do we get to source where we need to spend more money on to generate more chats, correct?
Correct, yes.
Clairvoy.
Love those guys.
Because I didn't, when you actually start seeing the journey is not linear. The journey starts on a Thursday night at 9 p.m. on somebody's iPad on their couch when they hop onto cars.com. And then from cars.com, they see a car they like, and then they go to ford.com. And then they realize, hey, I know that I've heard about Bozard Ford. They're very active in the community. They have their banners up at every high school football game. Let me go to their website. Then they go from Bozard Ford back to cars.com, right? Because they picked up their search 3 days later when they got off of work late. And then eventually they land on our website. Eventually they select a vehicle and they chat in. But none of these journeys anymore are as linear as saying, let me give attribution to this website because this is how they got to me.
Right.
It is a group effort, if you will, which is why I'm a big advocate of making sure we are part of every vendor that has a reach in my area.
So I don't know if this is a secret or not, but Clairvoy is in the V20 group, the Vendor 20 group, as well as Silverback Advertising, my agency. And it is the first Vendor 20 group. We are both founding members. And I have, through that group, met Steve White, the founder, CEO of Clairvoy. Fantastic gentleman. And we are cooking up a top secret experiment with Clairvoy that we don't have a press release out on yet because we're not allowed to talk about it. And I'm talking about it.
You kind of just spilled the beans. I'm not sure.
Yeah, but we're 28 minutes into the episode. No one's listening at this point anyway. So
this is true.
My average listener listens for 24 minutes and then they bail. So we're fine. Love those guys. And I love that you're looking at that, because what a lot of dealers do is they look at last click attribution, right? Oh, my AdWords is where all my traffic came from. Okay, that's partially true. They clicked on the ad and they landed on your website and they filled out a form. So technically, that form came from that Google search and that AdWords click. But the person didn't just all of a sudden decide to search you on the internet. What caused that search? So you can track back. Okay, they clicked on a paid search ad. What happened before that? Oh, well, that house was also served a connected TV ad 3 days before they Googled it. And then 3 days before that, they were on Auto Trader. So clearly they're in market for a car, which is why they received the connected TV ad, which is why they Googled the business, which is why they filled out a form lead and bought a car. So all those places in that process deserve some kind of credit for that sale, not just Google with the last click attribution.
I agree 100%. And I think, listen, in a normal operational day, I get pulled in probably 117 directions. You know, Sure. You walk in, the sales guy's like, hey, this engine blew up on this car.
That's why I don't answer the phone when I call you anymore, because you're too busy.
100%. Yeah. And then, you know, you can't even walk to the restroom without saying, hey, by the way, we got this going, we got that going, but you have a meeting in 15 minutes about this. Like, I like to look at attribution the same way I would plan a vacation, which might sound weird.
Obsessively?
I've never been called obsessive in my life. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, okay.
So if I'm going to plan a trip to Disney World, right, that journey might start on Travelocity. It might go to Expedia. Then it might go to Google. Then it might go to Airbnb. Then it might go back to Disney. But the bottom line is I'm going to end up at place X, right?
Disney.
But everybody along the way has a part in getting me there.
Sure.
And I've worked in stores where, like you said, the last click attribution is all that matters. How many did we – you sit in a Friday manager meeting and they say, well, how many did we sell from X? And I honestly think the question is not how many did we sell from X. I think it is what is our cost per sale for our spend versus our actual sell?
Yeah.
It doesn't matter where the click came from. It matters the total spend versus the total result.
I'm writing that down. Hold on. Prolific.
Well, I'm not trying to be prolific. It's the way I can rationalize it is that I understand I might need to have 7 third-party sources that are all exorbitantly expensive and have a monopoly on the market, right?
Yeah.
However, they all, in reality, they wouldn't say this, but they all work together in harmony to lead a customer to my product.
Yes.
If a customer wants to buy a Ford, they are going to go to more than one source before they get to me. I'm very aware of that. It is my job as an e-commerce sales director to be in front of that customer on every source they go to, because I can tell you 100% for a fact, when they click the chat, their experience with my internet staff is going to be different than any other place. I will put those internet sales guys against anyone in the business, anywhere in the world, because they are going to respond immediately. They're going to answer the customer's questions, and they're going to see if they can solve a solution. Because, and I say this all the time, and guys laugh at me. Customers do not drive donkeys to work. They drive cars, right? We provide them a vehicle to get to work.
I don't know that I understand that so much.
My point is
customers,
they're not, don't drive donkeys. They can't get to work on a donkey or a horse or a T-Rex. They need to buy a vehicle to transport themselves, their children to and from
everyone
work,
needs
to
a car is what
school.
You're saying.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
So So the way to make sure that they buy it from you is that when they finally get to those exterior websites, be the first on the page, lead them back to your website. And then when they get from your website to an actual human, give them the best experience they've had. And then when they get in store, make sure it's seamless to the online experience. And that is how a customer not only buys a car from you, but tells their brother, tells their friend, tells their coworkers. And then the next thing you know, you're building an actual business out of one car deal that starts with marketing your business to every vendor that has the ability to carry your product.
We're talking with Dave Stalvey, the e-commerce sales director at Bozard Ford, which is a huge operation that I had the pleasure of touring back in January. A couple of quick personal questions, which I like to do with my guests before we end. First of all, you're wearing a Bozard Build hat, which is a very nice piece of swag that I would be happy to take off your hands. But I noticed that you have that paired up with a matching shirt. Is that intentional or that's just a happy coincidence?
Yeah. So here at Bozard Ford, we actually have an entire parts and accessories department dedicated to customizing vehicles to the car of the customer's dreams that we call Bozard Built. So if you have anything that you think that you would like to build, whether it be a 3.5-inch lift, a 6-inch lift, a 7-inch lift, or if you'd like to lower your car, or if you would like to just get some extra audio installed in it, we can do all of that here at Bose R4.
But I'm not going to pay for a hat. Can I just get a hat?
No, yeah, I'll just send you the hat.
But you're going to have to pay for it, right?
I mean, there is an allowance for some swag, so.
I don't want the one you're wearing now. I want a clean, I don't want your Florida lice on me. I want a clean hat, you know?
All right, I'll get you a clean one. We have some new Bozard built merch coming out. We actually have a merch website for Bozard merchandise.
That's good merch. I like it. Other question is, I was down there in January. We were riding around in your, Bronco, which I noticed has a snorkel on it. Have you ever gotten it in water past the halfway up the tires?
I have never gotten in water, period.
So why do you have a snorkel on your Bronco? Because it looks cool?
Well, because you just never know, right?
No, I do know. I mean, when are you going to be in water up to the engine block?
Listen, I don't know, man. I live in Florida. We get hurricanes. You know, the levee could break. Who knows? I just want to be prepared for the worst.
All right. That's fair enough. I guess. Yeah.
If you'd like to get a snorkel on your truck, we can do a Bozard built directly on it, 904-824-1641, dial accessories, and we'll go ahead and get that taken care of for you.
Can you Bozard build a snorkel on my Jeep?
I'm not really sure, but I'm sure they could find a way to make it work.
Right, but I don't need a snorkel because I'm not going to drive my Jeep because first of all, you can't go in the water in Florida. You'll drive out of there with a gator stuck on your exhaust pipe.
They fall off once you get back on the asphalt.
What's the difference between a gator and a crocodile? Go.
The snout, for one. One lives in salt water. One lives in fresh water. One's significantly heavier than the other. I mean, how many ways do you want me to go with this? Because there's significant differences between an American alligator and a crocodile.
Because sometimes I say the wrong one, but I mean the other one.
Yeah. Well, I mean, maybe you should just watch a little National Geographic.
Before we go, can you tell the people what the wonderment of Buc-ee's is? I went to Buc-ee's when I was in Florida. I don't have it down here now, but I have a Buc-ee's cup I bought when we were in Buc-ee's. Can you explain to my northern listeners who don't know anything about Buc-ee's in three sentences what it is?
If you can imagine a good version of Cumberland Farms that has four times as many gas pumps and is four times as large inside and has a fresh deli with barbecue getting cooked all day.
Yes, that's a pretty good explanation of Buc-ee's. It's also massively busy. They've got a beef jerky counter with fresh beef jerky. It's insane. Buc-ee's is amazing. I love it.
Fresh brisket on the board.
Every time I say that, my 10-year-old gets mad at me. Also, just real quick mentioning, did you know that since you moved to Florida, which I was very against the idea of you moving to Florida, as we are longtime good buddies, that our 10-year-old children talk on the phone more than you and I talk on the phone, which I find very troublesome.
You know, it seems to me that your new job promotion has really hampered our communication because you're busier. Obviously, I'm not super accessible through the hours of like 7:30 a.m. to 7 p.m. at night.
Yeah.
And then when I am accessible, you're not accessible. So it's really frustrating.
It's a big problem. And our kids have no responsibility, so they can talk whenever the hell they want. Also, your kid texts me on my phone to see if my kid can talk.
Probably because you should get your kid a phone.
I'm not getting my 10-year-old a phone. That's a choice that you made. I'm saying no. Dave Stalvey.
I mean, I didn't say no. My wife said yes.
Ah, yes. Fair enough. Yeah. David Stalvey, longtime friend of Matt Wilson and e-commerce sales director at Bozard Ford in St. Augustine, Florida. Dave, this has been fun. Thanks for coming on.
It's been a pleasure. Thanks, Matt.
Thank you. I'll send you my Calendly link for the next time we record.
Please don't.
Hey, thanks for listening to Mostly Marketing with Matt Wilson. You're supposed to say like and follow and listen to other episodes and all that kind of like podcast jargon, but I don't say it. And so, you know. If you want to listen, listen. That's cool. Appreciate it.
Mostly Automotive Marketing with Matt Wilson is brought to you by... Wait, this guy has sponsors? Oh, never mind. This sheet of paper is blank. No sponsors. That makes more sense. For updates, info, future episodes, and more, follow on Twitter, subscribe on YouTube, like on Facebook, and connect on Frackle. You guys made that last one up. That's not even a thing, Frackle. Come on.